Amen. You guys can go ahead and be seated. A lot of you have commented on the attire. They got a sports game. Like, wow, Corey, what are you dressing up for? We had a staff meeting today. We kind of went away on this little staff meeting, so I thought I would represent the youth group well, you know, kind of look professional. So that's what. You think it looks good? All right, I got the thumbs up. That's good. Yeah, I like that. I guess it was a couple weeks ago. I went to a Murray State basketball game. I'm a huge Racer fan. It's my alma mater. It's where I went to college. Excited about race. Do we have any Racer fans in here? All right. That was kind of some half-hearted, you know. Where's Amy? I know we got some, you know, we got some Racer fans in here. So I went to a Racer game, and it was packed out. It's one of the first games of the season. Everybody's there. Everyone's excited. And I am lucky that my wife's parents have season tickets. And they have really, really good seats. So we get to go in, and it's kind of where the guy's standing there, like you have to show your ticket, you know. And I'm always like, yes, got my ticket, and walk down there. So we're here. This place is packed out. And we're going to the game, and I've got Kreider in my arm and Katie, and we're getting ready to go down. And we hadn't had Finley yet, so we're walking down there, and I can see the section is packed out, and there's no seats left. So I'm thinking, somebody's in my seat. Have you ever been to like a concert or something? You got this ticket with your seat number, and you know this is my seat and somebody's in it. So I started to walk down, and I could see our row, because for 2 years I've been sitting in these same seats, and I'm already eyeballing, and I can see there's a whole group of guys in my seat. So I kind of, you know, I've got Kreider, and I'm like, my chest is bowing up, and I'm like, those are my seats. Like, there's going to be a brawl here, you know, and I'm going to confront these guys. Hey, you need to get out of my seat, you know. So I get ready to go down there, and my father-in-law beats me to the punch. He goes down there, and I can see him talking to the guys and everything, and then all of a sudden, this row of guys gets up, and they turn around, and I recognize one of the guys. So here I am. I'm kind of a little, you know, a little mad because they're in my seats, and here I am. But then I turn around, and this guy that I know that I went to college with, and immediately when I saw this guy, all that anger, that frustration, that resentment turned to joy. I mean, this was a guy that when I see his face, there's just emotions that come into my heart. I mean, I can literally say, man, this guy is so dear to me. Now you're thinking, why is this guy so special to you? Because this guy moved off. He lives in Illinois now. And anytime I see him, he comes to Paducah a lot. I'll be at Chick-fil-A and I'll just see this guy like way far away, and I'll see him. And as soon as I see him, there's just this flood of emotion. There's this joy that comes over me, and I run over to him, and I immediately get in a conversation with this guy. And the question is, why am I so drawn to this particular guy? Well, here's the reason why. When I went to college my freshman year, I was not a believer. I wasn't a Christian. And this guy's name, Russ Kruder. And it was Russ Kruder who continually challenged me. He continued to invite me to campus outreach events. He continued to share the gospel with me. He continued to ask me intentional questions about your walk with Christ and how you stand before him. It was Russ Kruder who invited me to his house as he would read the Bibles, he would study. It was Russ Kruder who invited me to a Christmas conference that I got saved at. And after that, it was Russ Kruder who continually, week after week, walked with me. He discipled me. He grew me up in the faith. And here's a guy that I don't see very often at all. I might see him once every 3 months. But immediately when I see him, it is complete joy. Why? Because this guy, in a lot of ways, had a lot to do with me coming to Jesus Christ. I will forever be grateful to this man. Now, what do you think in your mind? Is there a person like that that you know? Like, this is a person, maybe it's a youth leader, maybe it's one of your friends, maybe it's your mom or your dad, but they are the ones that led you to Christ. They're the ones that introduced the gospel to you. They're the ones that cause you to think about your spiritual life, and it is because of them you heard the gospel, and you now know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you can think about somebody specifically, here's my challenge. This week, go to them and thank them for sharing the gospel with you. Tell them how much they mean to you because they, in a way, changed your life. It was God through them, but they introduced the gospel to you. Now, I want you to think for a moment at the other end. See, when I see Russ, I've got just a flood of emotions because he is the one who introduced me to Jesus in a real way where I understood the gospel and I came to Christ. But I want you to think about the other end. How do you think it would be to be Russ? Where when he walks, there's people that look at him with that emotion because he's the one that introduced them to Christ. I mean, can you think of anything better than to walk through the halls of school and when someone sees you, they automatically have this overflow of emotions because you introduced them to King Jesus? Can you think of anything cooler than you actually playing a part in one of your friend's salvation? I mean, you think about in middle school, if you did that for the rest of your life, when this person sees you, when they see you, man, they're going to rejoice because you're the one that introduced them to Jesus Christ. So here's my friend Russ. He stole my seat at a ball game, but I rejoiced because he is the one that played a real part in me coming to Christ. What we're going to see, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 5, is we're going to see a challenge from Jesus. And I think it's a challenge for us not just to live a Christian life, but to actually share the gospel with people. He's going to tell the disciples that their mission is to actually be fishers of men. And I want us to think about, how do we do that? How do we become fishers of men? How do we introduce those who we care so much about to our King Jesus? If you have Luke chapter 5, we're actually going to begin reading in chapter 4. We're going to look in verse 42. So if you get that, you of course know what to do. Stand out of reverence for the word of God. I'll tell you what, it was so cool that after that second song, I heard you guys just rejoice and applaud. I mean, that is so cool that a bunch of middle school students get really excited about singing songs to King Jesus. I mean, that's just awesome. And I praise God for that because I know it's only by his grace that a bunch of us can stand here and praise him and be happy about Jesus Christ. That's his grace. And you know what? I'm excited too that you guys are standing up and you're ready to hear his word. Man, that's so encouraging that you guys are hungry to hear what God has to say. So we're going to look in verse 42 of Luke chapter 4, and then we're going to read a little bit into chapter 5. Luke writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when it was day, he departed, this is Jesus, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, listen to what Jesus says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in synagogues of Judea. On one occasion, while a crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that were taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Father, we pray tonight that you would empower us to be fishers of men, that we'd be passionate about sharing the gospel with those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You guys may be seated. I want to catch up a little bit on chapter 4 because we skipped over just a little bit, and I want to bring you to what has happened in the verses we skipped. Okay, if you remember, Jesus showed up in the synagogue, he opened the scroll of Isaiah, and he basically said, look, I am the Messiah. The kingdom of God is here. It is me. I am salvation. And then we see that Jesus, he goes to other towns and he starts teaching in other synagogues. You can read this in chapter 4. And something is different about Jesus' teaching. All the people say this about Jesus' teaching. His words have authority like we've never seen. In other words, when Jesus speaks, things happen. Did you know that's one of the reasons that I am a pastor? Is because I know when the word of God is preached, things happen. I know that absolutely nothing I can do with my mouth and my vocal cords, nothing of me is going to do anything. But I know that Jesus, when his word is preached, things happen. I'm a testimony of that. My life was changed by the words of Jesus. So he's preaching, he has authority, and then something starts happening. He starts casting out demons. And it's interesting if you read what these demons do. When Jesus cast out a demon, they recognize Jesus and they start talking about Jesus. They say things like, "You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God." Demons know who Jesus is. And one of the things Jesus did is he tried to silence the demons. He would rebuke them. He wouldn't let them speak because he didn't want to get word to get out too soon. So he would tell the demons to be quiet. He would rebuke them. So you've got Jesus. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. He's rebuking demons. He's casting out demons. And then it says that he goes into Simon's, his mother-in-law's house, and he heals her of this fever. And then all these sick people come to him, and he starts healing them. All these different diseases he's healing. He's casting out demons. So here's what we see happen. Jesus steps on the scene and reveals to everyone, "I'm the king, I'm the Messiah, and I'm bringing in my new kingdom." And here's what the kingdom is going to be about. The blind are going to see. The sick are going to be healed. I'm going to overthrow the powers of Satan. And then we see Jesus. He's announced that. And he steps into all these regions. And guess what he starts doing? He starts healing people. He starts casting out demons. He starts exercising his power in his new kingdom. So here's what you need to know if you don't know this yet. There are two kingdoms on planet Earth right now. Do you know that? There's two kingdoms. Number one, there's the kingdom of Christ. And number two, there's the kingdom of this world. Two kingdoms. So you in this room right now, you're living in either one or the other. There's no middle kingdom. It's either you're in the kingdom of Jesus or you're in the kingdom of the world. So what's the difference? Well, if you're in the kingdom of the world, your life is all about you. And it's all about your sin. And it's all about your flesh and your desires and wanting instant gratification. That's how you live. You love the world. Man, you love the things on television or of the world. Man, MTV, you're glued to it. You love it. Why? Because you're in the kingdom of the world. But there's another kingdom. There's a kingdom of Christ. And the kingdom of Christ is different because you have a new heart. And your heart beats for King Jesus. And you love the things King Jesus loves. You love things like purity. You love things like truth. You love things that Jesus Christ loves. And you worship him. And see, your world is not about you. It's about who? It's about him. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him, and it's also about them. So two kingdoms, tonight you're in one or the other. So that's a challenge for you to think through, which kingdom am I in? Am I passionately in love with Jesus? Am I following Jesus? Am I living my life for Jesus? Or is it all about me? Am I in the kingdom of this world? So here we see a king is born, Emmanuel, God with us. He brings the kingdom of God to this earth, and he goes around preaching the kingdom of God. But then he does something else. Jesus starts to call a team of people together so that not only would he go and preach this kingdom, but his followers would also preach the kingdom of God. That he would have people that would follow him, and then he's going to send them out to fish for more people so that more people can follow him. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So here's sort of the story. We have Jesus, and he's by this lake. Okay, you guys have been to the lake, so imagine Jesus. He's at Wildcat Beach. He's by the lake. He's teaching to a crowd, okay? And then there's like hundreds and hundreds of people because everyone's hearing Jesus. His message is unbelievable. They're being drawn to his words, and people are crowding so close that Jesus is like getting ready to fall in the lake. So he's like, okay, I need to do something here. So he's like, time out, I need a boat. And he looks and he sees there's two boats. So he goes and he gets a boat and he takes the boat. It's Simon, who, as you know, as Peter. So he got Peter's boat. He gets in the boat and he puts it out in the water a little bit. So you got Jesus, he's in this lake and he pushes the boat out a little bit so people couldn't literally trample him. And he's sitting in the boat and begins to preach to all of the people, all of his hearers. So here you've got Simon, you got the other fishermen. They're hearing this message. They're hearing Jesus preach. And after Jesus preaches this message, he then has this interaction with Simon. And he tells Simon, he says, Simon, we're going to go fishing for a little bit. And he tells Simon, he said, look, let's go out and how about you cast your net again? Because if you notice, it said that Simon was cleaning his nets because he hadn't caught anything all day. So he's toiling, he's fishing, the fish aren't biting. How many of you have been fishing before and the fish aren't biting? It's miserable, right? Like there's nothing worse than fishing and not catching anything. I'm not even a real big fisherman, so if I'm fishing and catching something, it's a pretty good day. If I'm fishing and not catching anything, it is a bad day. So this is a bad day. They're not catching anything, they're fishing, but this is their livelihood. So Peter's gonna have to tell his wife, hey, we didn't catch anything today. And she's gonna think, okay, that means we don't have money, that means we're in trouble, we can't pay the rent. So Peter's probably a little frustrated here. He's cleaning his nets, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cast the nets out again. And Peter's like, but Jesus, we've tried, and the fish aren't biting. The fish, there's no fish. We've cast the nets out. There's none here. But then notice what Peter says. He says, but you know what? He says, Master and Lord. He calls Jesus both Master and Lord. He says, at your word, we're going to do this. In other words, he's just heard Jesus preach this message. He understands who Jesus is. He's the Lord, he's the Master, and Jesus is telling him to do something. So if Jesus is the Lord and Master, what do you do when he tells you to do something? You obey, right? You do it. So Peter's like, okay, I'm going to do this. So he goes, and he casts the net out, and guess what happens? He catches so many fish that the net begins to break. Probably more fish than he's ever caught in his entire life. This net's beginning to break. He's pulling it in, and he's yelling to his buddies on the shore. He's like, hey, guys, come here. I need some help. So they get their boat out there, and they're pushing all these fish in these two boats so much that the boats begin to sink. Imagine that. They just got done fishing. They haven't caught anything. Now Jesus says, we're going to try this again. You go fish. Throw your nets out. They obey Jesus, they throw their nets up, and they catch so many fish that they can't even hold them in their boat. And I can just see Peter. He's putting all the fish in. He's so excited. He's like, dude, this is awesome. Mama's going to be happy. She's going to be excited. We're going to eat tonight. We got food. It's Christmas time. We're going to the mall. We're shopping. This is good. I'm going to pay for everything. This is a good day. And then all of a sudden, you kind of get this sense that Peter, he sort of gets his bearings. And then it says that he kneels down at the feet of Jesus and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I mean, you can just imagine that all of a sudden Peter sort of is realizing who Jesus is. He's not only just a master and a Lord, he is the Master. He's the Lord. He is the chosen one. He is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He is in the presence of God's Son. And he gets this sense of awe, like, you are holy, I am not. Therefore, I need to get away from you. He has this vision of who Christ is. He sees how high and lifted up Jesus is. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you are going to catch men. I mean, just imagine. Here you've got Peter, and he's looking at all these fish. He's looking at this huge catch. He realizes who Jesus is, that all these fish are there simply because of the words of Jesus. And then Jesus says, don't worry. Here's what's going to happen. You used to be a fisherman of fish. This is what you used to do. I'm giving you a whole new job description. You now are not going to catch fish. You are going to catch men. And this, I think, is exactly what Jesus challenges us to do. Because as you see, these guys began to follow Jesus. Started to follow after, it says they left everything and they followed him. And if you notice, through the Gospels, when someone gets saved and when someone comes to Jesus, they get this mission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So at the very beginning of the ministry, he tells them, hey guys, to be a Christian, it's about fishing. Fishing for men. And then all throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus preaching the gospel, fishing for men. We see the disciples fishing for men. Then we see, after the resurrection, Jesus shows up and says, hey guys, don't forget, here's the mission. Keep fishing. Keep making disciples. And then last year, we went through the whole book of Acts. What was Acts all about? The early church going fishing. They spread the gospel. They told their buddies, their family members, everyone they knew about the gospel, about Jesus, and people started getting saved, and the church grew and exploded. Why? Because the Christians were pumped about fishing. They remembered what Jesus wanted them to do, and that is to fish for men. So tonight, I think every Christian in this room has this very challenge. You are a fisherman of men. What that means is you have the great privilege, the great responsibility, and a command from Jesus to tell people who don't know about Jesus about him. Those people you know who don't have a relationship with Christ, you have this great privilege of sharing the gospel with them. So what I want to do is I want to walk through a few things that I think it's going to take for us to become fishers of men. I know some of you are in panic mode right now. You're like, he wants me to tell my friend about Jesus. I'm scared, okay? I realize that. We're going to deal with that. We're going to talk about fear, okay? We're going to talk about why we sometimes get scared and hopefully how we can alleviate some of that fear. But here's point number one, if you're taking notes. Here's what has to start for you to really get passionate about catching fish. You, number one, have to have a vision of Christ. That's what Peter got. Peter had this vision of Jesus, that his word is powerful, that he is the Son of God, that he is holy and he is separate from me. He is high and lifted up so much that he told Jesus, we need to separate because you are much greater than I am. You need to have a vision of Christ. You need to see him high and lifted up as the Lord of the universe, who created all things, who holds all things together by the word of his power. You need to have a vision that Jesus is seated on the throne of God. He is coming back one day to redeem his church. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. And if you really catch how big and great and powerful Jesus is, you're going to have a lot less fear when he tells you, here's my command. Go and share the gospel. Because you understand, I'm going because Jesus told me to. So he's got everything under control. I'm going in his power and his authority. Here's the second thing you need to know. That Jesus came to fish. Listen to what he says. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. So you might be asked, why did Jesus come to planet Earth? Why did he come? What was his purpose? To preach the gospel. To fish for men. This was why Jesus came. It was his great purpose to be a fisherman. So that's why Jesus came. And then secondly, not only did Jesus come to fish, but Jesus tells us to fish. So the third thing is, Jesus not only fishes himself, but he then commands us to fish. We just remembered Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. Right before he goes up to heaven, he tells us, here's what I want you to do. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, I'm the king. I've got everything under control. Here's what I want you to do. Go therefore and make disciples. I want you to go reach your friends with the message of my death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus came to fish, and he saves us and gives us the same purpose, for us to go and make disciples, for us to be fishers of men. The fourth thing you need to know if you're going to be passionate about making disciples, this is one of the most important things I think for you to know. This changed the way I view evangelism, and I really grasped this. And here's what it is. We fish, but God catches. That's huge if you get that. What that means is this, that in evangelism, in sharing the gospel, you have a responsibility, but God has a responsibility. Here's your responsibility, and this is it. Your responsibility is to share His message. That's it. You know what God's responsibility is? To save people. In other words, if you think about, okay, what's my job description? It's this. Tell as many people about Jesus as you can. That's it. What's God's job description? Save people that you tell the message to. So when you think about it, man, God is in control of salvation. God is the one who saves people. God is the one who melts their heart of stone. God is the one who opens their blind eyes. God is the one who draws all men to Himself. God is the one who does everything in salvation. Then our job, man, it takes the pressure off. Because here's what I want you to hear tonight. You are not responsible for saving your friend. You're just responsible for telling them how they can be saved. And that is freeing to know, okay, I've got this person who sits beside me, and my mission is not to save them. My mission is only to tell them how they can be saved. That's the only thing I can do. It's impossible for me to save this person. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to simply tell them about Jesus and let God do the rest. Man, that's so freeing. You see, it's the difference. We're in a lure fishing society, right? We fish with lures. And what's the point of a lure? You try to make it look really pretty so that things want to bite it. You make it look really cool, really snazzy. So what we think is, okay, if I'm going to share the gospel with my friend, I've got to do everything right. I've got to make this presentation be perfect so they'll want Jesus. But this isn't how they fished in biblical days. It wasn't with lures, it's with nets. And that's a difference in sharing the gospel. You see, we don't have to make this airtight case for Jesus so that with our reason and our eloquent speech, people will come to Christ. Here's what God says. You just throw the net out. You just tell them about my death, burial, and resurrection. You just tell them that by the blood of Jesus, they can be made right with God. You just throw out the net, and guess what? I'm going to bring fish into the net. I'm going to save people through the message that you share. So we fish, we tell the message, but it's God who saves. I think those are the things that you're going to have to know and understand if you're going to become a person who fishes for men. Now, in closing, I want to deal with just a few fears that we have in sharing the gospel. And I want to help you to work through these fears. Fear one is this. Now, raise your hand if you've ever had this fear. I don't know enough. Have you ever had that fear? Like your thought is, if I tell this person the gospel, they're going to ask me a question and I'm not going to be able to answer it. Therefore, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Because if I start the gospel, they ask me a question, it trips me up, they're going to be turned off. And they're never going to hear the gospel. And they are going to go to hell and it's going to be my fault. Because I couldn't answer their question. So it paralyzes us. We don't know enough. Well, I've got good news. There's a verse that I want you to highlight, circle, and memorize in your Bible. And it's Deuteronomy 29:29. And what that verse says is, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. Here's what that verse says. You don't know everything, and God has designed it that way. There are things that you don't know, and you can't know. They're secret. They belong to the Lord. So you know what this says? You will get questions that you can't answer. That's part of it. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. God tells us that. So that shouldn't be a fear that keeps us from sharing the gospel. If you're sharing with someone and they ask you a question, be honest with them. You know, I've never thought about that. I don't know, but you know what? I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to look into that question. Let's meet back next week at this same time, and I'm going to see what I can dig up, and I'm going to answer that question for you. See, you don't have to be freaked out if you don't know something, because that's okay. Guess what? You're growing in Christ. You're learning things. You don't know everything yet. So if you have the fear, I don't know everything, that's okay. But you know one of the best ways to start really pursuing Christ in your Bible is when you start sharing the gospel and people start asking you questions. And then you start thinking, man, I never thought about that. You know, I better go and check it out. And then you start reading and you start growing. And the next person to ask that question, you know it. So you don't know everything, and that's okay, because God actually says we're not going to know everything. Another fear is rejection. And I think this is a very common fear. Your fear is this: if I tell this person about Jesus, they might reject me as a friend. They might laugh at me. They might call me names. It might ruin my reputation. They might throw me out. They might cast me out. So I'm just going to not tell. And you know what it boils down to? Is that you fear man over God. And the Bible says that if that's your heart, you need to repent of that. Because we shouldn't fear people and not share the gospel. But we should fear God, who tells us to share the gospel. And that should motivate us to want to tell as many people about the good news that we have. Now here's the third fear that I wrestle with a lot, and it's the fear of failure. What if I share the gospel with someone and they don't believe in Jesus, and I actually push them farther away from Christ? How many of you guys have sort of thought that before? Man, what if I share and I push them farther away from Christ? I want you to think about this. This is what my professor at seminary told us. That person that doesn't know Christ, at this moment, they are separated from God. And if they die, they will spend eternity in hell forever. Now, do you really think you could, by your words, make them worse off than they already are? I mean, they are going to hell, separated from God. So you can't push them into a worse state than they already are. They are in the absolute worst state imaginable. They are separated from a holy and just God. So here's your job. You're saying, I can't mess it up anymore. I'm going to share Jesus with you. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And hopefully by His grace and His love, He's going to draw you to Himself and He's going to save you. Because it's not your job to save people. It's your job to simply share the message of Jesus Christ. It's your role just to tell them who Christ is. So hopefully, as you've seen, man, you need a vision of Christ. You need to remember Christ came to fish. He commands us to fish. We simply spread the message. He's the one that catches. He's the one that saves. We've dealt with a few possible fears. I hope that you feel this urgency. Man, there's people at your school that don't know Jesus Christ. There's people at your school that you sit by every day who don't know Jesus. And you know what? There's probably a reason that you're sitting by them. God has probably put it that way. There's probably a reason why that person has his locker or her locker right beside yours. Because God wants you to enter a relationship with that person and tell them about Jesus Christ. As you think about sharing the gospel, think about an airplane. There's two wings on an airplane, right? One wing is your life. The other wing is the message. Both are important. When you think about, I'm going to start sharing the gospel, you need to first, with your life, back up the gospel. If you live like the world, you live in complete sin, they're not going to believe the message. You've got to live for Christ, but living for Christ is not enough. By your life, they're not going to come to Jesus. You also have to share the message. You got to have both wings. You got to have the message of Jesus, and you got to have a life that shows you love Jesus. And I know you're not perfect. I know you mess up because I mess up. But you know one of the best ways we can show the gospel as Christians is through repentance. When your friends see you stumble and do something completely dumb that says, does that person really know Christ? You know what shows them the gospel more than anything is when you come to them and you say, you know, I need to repent because I'm a follower of Christ. This was completely against Him. I'm repenting. I'm turning from this, and His blood is cleansing me from this. Man, what better way to show the gospel than by repenting to your friends, telling them, I blew it. I repent. I turn. I'm so thankful for the gospel. Let me tell you about Jesus, how He can forgive you of your sins also. Cody's going to come up. And he's going to play another song as we get ready to close. We're going to have one more song. And here's what I want to happen during this song. I want you to, in your mind, be thinking about, who has God put in my life right now that I have somewhat of a relationship to that I know is not a believer? Who can I present the message of Christ to? Who can I share Jesus with? And during this song, if you want to just stand up and sing and think about that person and pray for them, you can. But I want to welcome you to this altar. And if you want to bring that person by name in your mind to this altar and specifically pray and commit, Lord, I'm going to fish. I'm going to share the gospel with this person sometime very soon. Hold me accountable, because I think it's a command from Christ to make disciples. So get that person. Think about that person. If you want to use this altar, you can. If you want to stay in your seat, that's fine too. But let's have one more song of worship before we close.